Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we give you thanks for this day. Father, for this day is all that we have. Yesterday is a memory and tomorrow is a hope. You say in your word, this is the day. And Father, on this Resurrection Sunday, we give you thanks. Father, we pray today that all around our world, as believers celebrate the resurrection, Lord, that their minds would be renewed with faith and their hearts would be renewed with courage for the truths of your word. And Father, for all those around the world who are seeking truth, comfort, wisdom, Father, they're seeking Christ. We pray that you too would open their minds and their hearts, let them see you like they've never seen you before. And Father, we pray that in this time together, in these few moments, Lord, that we'll be encouraged and challenged by your word, by your spirit, by your presence, by your promise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, today's focus passage is Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 7. And some of you are going, we're going to be getting out early. No, you're not. holidays have meanings, don't they? Certain associations. Like St. Patrick's Day. Let me ask you this. Is there a food that goes with St. Patrick's Day? What is it? Chili dogs always go with Ronnie. Any day is chili dog day. But is there, what is it? I heard. Beer. That's not a food. I mean, that's not a food either. I can tell I got that kind of crowd. Where we need to be in. Is there not a food? No? Corned beef and cabbage. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. You can eat corned beef. The cabbage I can live without. Never quite got to cabbage. And there's other things associated with St. Patrick's Day, which other people have mentioned. How about 4th of July? Flags, patriotism, food. It's funny how holidays have food associated with them. 4th of July food, what, hot dogs, hamburgers, pecan pie? Just out, just grilling. Yeah. Love me some 4th of July. Memorial Day, now that's a little more somber. We have flags and wreaths, and it's a little more somber, and we think of those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. And then we have Mother's Day and Father's Day coming up, yeah? Got to show some love to those moms and dads, and you better do it, because they have a long memory. You know, you better take care of that. So, Thanksgiving. How about Thanksgiving? Well, obviously we have food, turkey, right? What else do we associate with Thanksgiving? What's that? Soccer? Hey, listen, Europe's that way, baby. What? Don't bring no soccer into my Thanksgiving. Soccer? What? Wow. I'm done. I just don't even want to. Parade? Yeah, parade. Football. American football. And what else? There's one other thing that we associate with Thanksgiving now. Well, turkey, yes. Huh? Family? That's a good answer, Rick, but that's wrong. Huh? There you go. Black Friday. Now, ladies, you know you were thinking it, but you didn't think Jesus let you say it in church. Do we have any Black Friday men in the house? Jeff, put your hand up. Two? Okay. I've been to like one Black Friday, and one was enough. Kind of like an IRS audit. One will get you by. But Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, you know, gifts and music and all the wonderful trappings of Christmas, wonderful things. But each holiday has its own associations, and the secular world with Easter has given us the Easter bunny, Easter candy, Easter rabbits, Easter dinner, Easter bonnets. We get a lot of great things at Easter, wonderful things, and, you know, kind of go to it. But are those things the message of Easter? The answer is simply no. They're wonderful additions. Anybody here going to have ham in a little bit? Now, I would like to know how ham became the Easter food of choice, seen as, you know, so closely associated with Passover in the Hebrews. Don't know, but if you have an answer, you could fax me. That'd be great. Fax me. Fax me. What is that? Fax me. I am so ancient. I'm telling you, y'all have shot my wheels off. I didn't have none of this problem in the early service. But today, in these three verses, I believe we can summarize the essence of Easter, the essence of Resurrection Sunday, in four simple words. Can we agree that sometimes the things of faith are overcomplicated? Yeah, we can. Now, sometimes by choice, sometimes by accident, but the truth is that the gospel is very simple. And the truths of God are very simple. And I believe that we can summarize this resurrection day for both the believer and the seeker in four simple words. But before we get to those four words, I want us to kind of walk through how we get to our passage today. We are wrapping up what the church calls Holy Week. And Holy Week begins with the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. Last Sunday, we partook in Lord's Supper communion as our celebration of Palm Sunday. And if you're not familiar with Easter and with the Holy Week, Palm Sunday is when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. It's called the triumphal entry. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem, there were throngs, hundreds and thousands of people crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And they were laying palms in front of him, and they were shouting in praise and shouting in joy and shouting in affirmation. Everybody loved him some Jesus on Palm Sunday. But you know the funny thing about crowds is they can become very fickle. Because this same crowd, in just a few days, will be standing at the foot of Pilate crying for the crucifixion of this same Jesus. You see, crowds can become fickle. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem triumphantly for the last time in this his earthly ministry. And through the conniving and the intentions of Judas, one of his disciples, through the religious leaders of the day, and through Pontius Pilate, the Roman leadership of the day, they took Jesus through false trials, they scourged him, and ultimately sentenced Jesus to death. And the Bible says that he carried a wooden cross up a hill called Golgotha, translated the skull. And on that hill, he was crucified between two men. Now, what's so amazing is the crowd at the triumphal entry and the crowd at the trial were divided in their opinion. And even on that hill, between three men and three crosses, the crowd was divided. Because one thief cried out, "Hey, God, if you really are who you say you are, then do something. Save me and save yourself." That's the way the world works today. God, I don't really want to believe in you, but if you are real, then show me a trick. God, if you really are real, how about those lotto numbers? But the thief on the other side says, "Do you not even fear God in your death?" And he cries out to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me." And Jesus gave him a simple answer: today. Not tomorrow. Not the next day. Not if you get down off this cross and you go out and clean up your life and be sure and tithe at least 10%. We'll talk about it. Jesus said to the man that would come off the cross dead, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Wow. And on that cross, ladies and gentlemen, on that Good Friday cross, a miracle happened. Undetectable by human eyes, unduplicable in all of eternity because it doesn't need duplication. Jesus, on that cross, the Bible teaches us, became sin. Well, what do you mean, Jimmy? The Bible teaches us that Jesus, big seminary word, is the propitiation. He's the payment. Because the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Someone is accountable for sin, and Jesus became sin. Well, what sin? All sin. Well, surely you don't mean past sin. So yeah, I do. Well, surely you don't mean the sin that I committed this morning. Yeah, I do. Surely you don't mean the sin I'm committing right now, thinking about the ham and still listening to you. Yeah, I'm talking about that sin too. Surely you're not talking about the sin I hadn't committed. Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about that one too. Jesus on that cross became sin. Whose sin? Well, surely you're talking about ISIS. Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about them. Surely you're talking about North Korea and their failed missile attempt. Yeah, I'm talking about Kim Jong-un too. Surely you're talking about United Airways. Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about that too. Let me bring it in a little closer. Jesus became my sin. Because I'm a sinner. You say, well, Jimmy, yes, you are. Yes, you are a sinner. My daughter's sitting here. She goes, oh, yeah, Daddy, you're a sinner. My son-in-law wouldn't say that. But you know what? Jesus became your sin. You say, what sin? All of them. Every lie. Every time you stole. Every time we had that thought that we shouldn't think. Every sin, past, present, and future, on that cross, Christ became. And when the payment was made in full, Jesus made the most important statement ever made by man to mankind. It is finished. Well, Jimmy, what does that mean? That means you cannot do anything to add to what Jesus has done. You cannot do anything to take away from what Jesus has done. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washes it white as snow. Isn't that good? That is good news. That's what makes Resurrection Sunday so good. And then he gave up the ghost. And because of Jewish custom, those who loved Jesus collected his lifeless body, carried it to a borrowed tomb of Joseph Arimathea, and they quickly laid him to rest in that borrowed tomb because they had to be absent from his presence before the sunset, or they would be ceremonially unclean for the Passover meal. So they do all that they can, that human hearts and hands can do, before the sun sets, and then they leave him. And let me just say this. This was the most terrible Passover for these people they had ever experienced. Because the heinousness of the crucifixion is immeasurable. And now the one they loved, the one they believed in, the one they followed, the one they believed was the answer is now dead. Behind the backs of Roman guards and a large stone. And so they share their supper together, and they go through the Saturday. Can you imagine what Saturday was like? Can you imagine what Saturday night was like? And Saturday night, these ladies are thinking, first thing in the morning, we're going to get up and we're going to go back to the one that we love, and we're going to tend to his lifeless body like it deserves. We're going to prepare it for an eternity of rest like it deserves. And before the sun comes up, these ladies prepare all that they need, and they begin to make their way to that garden tomb. And I want you to know, from the far south side of Jerusalem to the north side of Jerusalem to where that empty tomb would greet them, they began to walk. And I can only imagine, as tears filled their eyes and sorrow filled their heart, they're going to show love one last time. Oh, but they just didn't know. They just didn't know. Do you ever get a good surprise? You ever get a tax refund when you think you're going to be paying? What? Well, as they're walking to that grave, we find this scripture. I'm so good, I got ahead of myself. Matthew 28 says this, "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid. For I know what you're looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee, where you will see him. Now I have told you. Now I believe we see four simple words in this very brief section of Scripture. The first one we see is the word come. Now one of the most interesting things is if you go all the way back to the garden, where God created Adam, and he said it was not good for man to be alone, and he created Eve, and Adam woke up and he goes, hey. And they lived together, and they served together, and they loved together, and then sin entered in. And sin changes everything. But even in that moment, God said, come to me. You see, the world tells you that there is no God. The world tells you God doesn't want you. The world tells you you can't find God. My friend, you don't have to go looking for God, because from eternity past, he says, come to me. Come to me. I want you. Come to me. The Bible says come, even from the garden. And then we see in Genesis, God promises there would be a Messiah who once and for all would defeat Satan. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what news you watch, CNN, Fox News, or whatever. But I want you to know Satan's alive and well in our world today. And the Bible says that there would be a Messiah who would once and for all extinguish Satan. And then we see on in the Scripture, we see that God builds a boat by the hands of a man named Noah. A symbol that if you'll run to the Lord, you can be saved. As sin floods our world and judgment to come floods our world, run to Jesus and you shall be saved. He invited the children of Israel out of Egypt. Did anyone watch it last night, the Ten Commandments? That's still good, isn't it? None of y'all watch that? Y'all need to repent. Okay. I tell you my favorite part's when the angel of death's coming down the street. And Aaron opens up that door and says, if it's not a sin to look upon pestilence, look. And Moses just goes, close the door. God invited the Hebrews out of Egypt, but even more than that, he invited them into the promised land. He didn't get them saved just to get them lost. Oh, my friend, God is inviting us every day. Every day when the world wakes up and the sun is in the sky and the birds are in the air and the leaves are on the tree and the breath will come in and out of your body, my friends, you are seeing God. And he says, come to me. I was driving in this morning as the sun began to come up and I passed one sunrise service and I knew who was doing it. My first thought was I was going to honk to go, hey, hey. And I thought, that's probably not a good sunrise service thing to do. But I thought about it. If I had time, I'd have stopped and joined in. But as that sun was coming up, I was reminded that every day our living and loving God reminds us, come to me. Whatever you're going through, come to me. Whatever you need, come to me. In Revelation, he tells us this, the spirit of the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let me ask you, is the world thirsty? Yes. I'm thirsty. In January of 1987, I was thirsty. If you're thirsty, come and let the one who wishes to take the free gift. Remember we talked about you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't improve it. It's free. Now, can we just be honest? Someone rings your cell phone and offers you something free, your first thought is, well, this isn't for real. You know why? Because your human mind and human heart knows there ain't no such thing as free. And you're right. Because the gift that's offered here isn't free. It costs Jesus everything, but it doesn't cost you nothing. And then Jesus makes the same offer to us in the book of Matthew. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. You think the world's weary and burdened? Let me ask you this, believer, are you weary and burdened? Doesn't mean I don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love me. But I can be weary and burdened. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will what? Find rest. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have the trials of life, but what I can tell you this is the trials of life with Jesus make them bearable and valuable. Last Thursday, I went and got my hair cut. Looks good, doesn't it? And that's the artist that does it. But you know, it was even more than that. Last Thursday, however many years ago, when I'd have been 11 years old, was the anniversary of my mother's death. Drunk driving, killed herself, killed an innocent father of three, left me battered and broken with this mark of ownership under my chin. And you know what? I wouldn't want that day. I wouldn't ask for that day. But do you know what? God says that He can take those things and do great things. Do you know how many people I've been able to tell the story of Jesus to because of that day? The Bible says, for all things work for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. Are all things good? No. Nothing gags me worse than a Christian who just says, oh, well, that's good. No, that's bad. When your mom dies and you're 11 years old and she's a drunk driver and she kills someone, that's bad. Leaves you broken and battered and bloodied, it's bad. But God says, I'll take the bad and I'll grow something beautiful out of it. Would I want it? No. Would I wish for it? No. Am I the man I am today because of it? Absolutely. Come unto me. Come unto me. God says, come to me. And church, we need to remind the world, God says, come. Come and see. Come and learn. Come and love. Come and rest. I love talking to people and they say, well, I've been thinking about coming. Just come. Just come make yourself at home. Just come rest for a while. Just come hear the word of the Lord. The Lord will take care of those things. He says, come. The second word is the word see. I'd like to differentiate the word between look and see. Ladies, can I ask you this? Is there a difference between the word hear and listen? There is, isn't there? Ladies, you know, you could say it and we men, we're not listening. We can hear you. Because we usually give you this. Okay. Hey, listen, this trash is higher than I am. Okay. Hey, the grass is taller than the kids. I'll get it. But they're not listening. My friend, like I said earlier, the world sees God every day. Yet they do not see Him. These ladies ran to the empty tomb to see what was not there. And can I just take an aside just a moment? Could it be that the world out there might see more Jesus if the church in here lived a little more Jesus 364? Could it be? I think it could be. Because what the world sees is you and me. And the preachers on TV who are getting arrested for embezzlement, and just we'd just go on and on. But if we were committed to being more like Jesus, they might have an easier time to see. But He says, come and see. The world looks at God, but do they see Him? My friends, I offer it to you this. It is nearly impossible to walk away from the love of God when you see it for what it is. Because when you see God for who He is, and when you see Jesus for what He's done, and you see yourself in light of them, My friend, you need something, and his name's Jesus. He says to come and see. Come and see the sinless Savior. Come and see the suffering Savior. Come and see the empty tomb. Come and see. Come and get an accurate look. Come and see. And seeing that God wants us to place our faith and trust to Him, Romans 10:9 says this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. God's done everything He's going to do. God is not going to do anything else to save humanity. And can I just say this? God has done really more than He was obligated to do. Because if a holy God had said, Jimmy Vaughn, I'm going to leave you the way you are because this is your choice, He would have been justified in doing it. But the love of God says no. And the cross of Jesus says no. And the empty tomb says no. God has done all that He's done. He's given you His Word. He's given you His Son. He's given you the testimony of His creation. He's given you the testimony of His church. And now He says, the ball is in your court. What are you going to do with it? Oh, my friends. I just get smooth, worn out with the world that says, well, you know, if God could just do one more thing. Please. Has science resurrected any from the dead lately? Only in Walking Dead. That doesn't count. Please. And you see, we need to lovingly remind our world that God has done all that He could, should, and will do. Here's the evidence. What will you do with it? And this is the love of God. This is how good God is. He says, I sent my Son. You can miss hell for heaven through faith in Him, but if you don't want to, all right. It's your choice. If you don't want to love me, okay. If you don't want to recognize my existence, okay. If you don't want to believe in the authority of my word, okay. My friend, many of those who will miss heaven for eternity are simply having the prayer of their heart and their lips answered. God, if you'll just leave me alone. But the Bible says that God desires that none should perish, but what? All should come to saving knowledge. God desires none should perish. But my friends, people perish. He says, come. He says, see. And once we have seen Him for who He is, and we've responded to that love by grace, He told the women to go. He did not intend for them to stand and to stare into the empty tomb. Sometimes we as church people get so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good anymore. My bride and I had the privilege of visiting Israel some years ago, and we visited both tombs. I'm a Garden Tomb guy. And when you step into that empty tomb, my friends, I didn't need to see it to believe it, but when you step in it and you see it, yeah, it's pretty cool. But God says, don't stand and stare. Go and tell. Go and tell what you've seen. Go and tell what you've heard. Go and tell what you've experienced. Go and tell. Tell them what? Tell them what has happened in your life. Personal testimony is one of the greatest assets you have in sharing your faith with Christ. And after we come to a point of seeing Him, we must go. 2 Peter tells us we must go and learn about Him. We must become disciples. You can't live and love for someone you don't know. It's like taking a bride but never seeing her. How can you love her? How can you know her? How can you get that gift that she always wants? How can you know? We're to go to Him in prayer, simple communication. We're to go with Jesus and allow Christ to live through us. It's a true statement, as simplistic as it is. The only Bible some people ever see is you. It's true, simply, but true. We're to go to church. Oh, Jimmy, now, listen. I'll see you at Christmas. No, listen, we go to church because that's where church people go. That's where Christians come to fellowship, to worship, to find inspiration, to give inspiration. Church is important. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. Hey, listen, our social and civic organizations meet more than some church people do. And you got to pay for the privilege to go to those. Acts 1:8 tells us this. That once we've seen him, we're to go and we're to tell the whole world by whatever means that is afforded to us, whether that world is right next door in your next cubicle, at your next business stop, at your next family reunion, or whether it's around the world, we're to go and tell. Because the world is lost, my friends. There are still those in our world that do not know the name Jesus, don't even know the name, much less the gospel behind the name. There was once a demon-possessed man mentioned of in Mark, and when Jesus had delivered him from the possession of those demons, that man wanted to follow Jesus. It makes sense, doesn't it? And Jesus says, no, go home and tell what you've experienced. Go tell them where you were. Go tell them what it was like. Go tell them what has happened. Go tell them who did it, and go tell them why you want to tell them about me. I love this old saying, and it's so true. Someone once said, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. On that January morning in 1987, I was a beggar in need of bread. I was ashamed of much of my past. I had no contemplation of my future. I had anger towards a God that I didn't even recognize existed. I had all that the world says should make you happy. But in here, I was desperately alone. There's a song I want you to go. If you haven't heard it today, I want you to go Google it. It's by Dallas Holm, H-O-L-M, and it's called Rise Again. And I used to listen to that cassette tape. Yes, I am that old. I used to listen to that cassette tape over and over, and I would weep. And I didn't understand even why I was weeping. As he sings of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through faith, I could hear it, but I wasn't listening. And on that day, one beggar pointed this beggar to the bread. And my friends, on this Easter day, this beggar is pointing you to the bread. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, my friend, he says of himself this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I know that's true because I'm a beggar who's experienced it. Does that mean difficulties don't come to my life? No. Does that mean I have all the answers? No. Does that mean every day I'm Superman? No. Does that mean I know every word about everything in the Bible? No. There's more I don't know than what I do know. But what this beggar knows is I have all that this life can afford me. And heaven too. And I want everyone possible to taste what I've tasted. I'm not pointing you to a denomination. I'm not pointing you to a translation of the Bible. My friend, I'm pointing you to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my salvation. He is the bread that your life starves for. He is the water that your mouth is so parched for. Come to Jesus. See Him for who He really is. And once you have seen Him, go and tell others who are desperate for what only Jesus can give them. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we'll take just a moment together on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. And we'll ask the question, my friend, has there ever been a time, has there ever been a place where you personally received the gift of faith in Jesus? Has there ever been a time, has there ever been a place where you have seen Jesus for who He is, for what He's done, for what He promises, and for who you are in Him? Has there ever been that time? Has there ever been that place? My friend, if the answer is no, I invite you with all humility, come and see. The Bible says if you'll just trust Jesus, the transformation for eternity is secure, and the transformation day by day shall begin. I am not perfect, but I'm the better man than I was 29 years ago, I promise you. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you've come from. But Jesus paid it all. And He says, come. If you're here today and you would say in your mind, in your heart, I want a Savior. I need a Savior. You can whisper a prayer in the quiet of your heart, something like I will whisper with you. And it's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith that saves you. I would whisper something like this. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, I do wrong things, sometimes by accident and sometimes by choice. God, I admit to you, I know less about you than what I do know. God, I admit to you, I need more than what my hands in this world has been able to provide for me. I am hungry and I am thirsty. And God, you say in your word that you are the bread of life. You are the living water. And today, by faith, I receive that. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and King. Jesus, come into my life and help me to know you and to love you more each and every day of my life. Jesus, come into my life and give me a home in heaven one day. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Now, the Bible says that act of prayer, that act of faith, has begun a process that will last for eternity. You walked in an enemy of God. My friend, you're going to walk out a child of God. And I want to ask you to do something that's going to take a little bit of courage. I'm going to invite you to share that decision with me. Now, I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out in any way. But the Bible says we're to believe and confess. And this is your opportunity to share that decision with me. What I'm going to ask you to do is simply this. If you're here today and you would say to me, Jimmy, this morning I have received Christ as my personal Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to simply raise your head and look to me. And by looking at me, you're saying to me, Jimmy, today I've placed my faith in Jesus. Is there anyone over here that would make that statement today? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Over here to my right, would there be anyone over here? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you very much. Now I want to encourage you to speak to someone that you're with, to talk to me. I would love to talk with you as you begin this journey of faith. This is the beginning, not the end. But I also want to say to you, brother to brother or sister, this is the single greatest decision of your life. And I am honored to be a part of your day. Now, for the rest of us, you're either still seeking, and I can absolutely respect that, or you're a saint, a child of God. Let us ask ourselves how we are living in our going. Let us ask God to renew our passion for Him. Let the resurrection of Jesus weigh heavy upon our hearts. May the resurrection of Jesus give us courage in a world that says no. Let the resurrection of Jesus give us peace in a world where there seems to be no peace. Let the resurrection of Jesus give us love in a world that grossly defines what love is. Let the resurrection of Jesus be the hinge pin that changes everything. For Jesus is risen indeed, and He's coming again. Father, we give You thanks for this Resurrection Sunday. We give You thanks for our new brothers and sisters of faith. Father, give them wisdom, give them courage. But more than those things, Father, I pray that You'd give them a sense of absolute assurance for what they've done, why they've done it. And Father, for us as Your children, we say thank You. Thank You, God, for giving us the greatest gift of all eternity. Thank You, God, for giving us hope and peace and love. Thank You, God, for giving us this day that we might share in each other's company. Father, we have tasted and know the goodness of Your love. Now let us, in humility and grace and boldness, go and tell. For Your glory, we ask these things. For our own good, we ask these things. And for the sake of a lost and dying world, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.